Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Irak, Kadesh, is Yoma Daf Ayin Aleph, and we're holding on Daf Ayin Amud Beis at the bottom of the daf, and we're at the last piece of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that after we finish all of the Zinyonim, the Elo, the Elaam, and so on and so forth, we then are, which by the way, when I say so on and so forth, that's a big machlokas, whether that all having taken place within the third tefillah, that all of that, did that third tefillah include the Musafim and the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, or did it not? That is a big machlokas between Rashi on the one hand and the Rambam and Tosfos on the other hand. Obviously, many other Rishonim get involved in the machlokas. But in any event, the Seder as we have it, this I think is a good opportunity to go over the Seder according to the Rambam, and this is what you should be keeping in front of you, make a little copy of it on Yom Kippur to make sure that you have the Seder Hayom correctly. Let's just do it. It's a two-minute job to remember what happens, okay? This is in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. We're talking about the five tefillahs. Let's start. B'tchila, poshet b'gdechol. Your first tefillah is to put on your big day zahav when you come in the morning. What do you do with the big day zahav? You do the shkita of the tamid, you bring the k'teres shel shachar, your metivas haneiros, you bring the evrei atamid, you bring the chavitim, you bring the nesachim, and according to Rabbi Akiva, which is how we paskin, you bring all of the seven kvasim, because we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, the way he's brought in the Tosefta, not according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, but according to what Rabbi Akiva said, all seven kvasim, together with the par of the musafim, are brought milvad olat haboker asher olat atamid. All of this is done in section number one, that is to say, tefillah number one, the first big day zahav. Fine. Your metiv es haneros, all of these things are done, and then you take off the big day zahav, and now comes tefillah number two, you put on the big day lavan. The big day lavan, everything is done with the big day lavan. All of the viduyim, all of the azoyas, both of the par, both of the soyer, you do the aktoras akteres, and you give the soyer to the meshaleach, and then you take out the emurei apar, and you then send out the bodies to be burned in the Beis HaDeshen. All of that is done as the first time that you put on your big day lavan. Then you put on your big day zahav. When you put on your big day zahav, you then bring the soyer achatas, which is the milvat chatat kippurim, just like it said in our Gemara. You bring the soyer achatas right after you sent out the soyer amishtaleach and finished up with the soyer nasa bifnim, including burning, sending it out to be burned in the Beis HaDeshen. The next thing, the very next thing that you do, is when you put on your big day zahav, you bring the seir chatat of the musaf hayom, like it says in our Gemara yesterday at the very top of Amud Beis, and you then bring elo ve'elaam, which are the both of them being elois, and then you bring the emurim of the par v'sar hanisrafim, which is the what it says over here, that the megis was then put on the mizbeach hachitzon, and then you bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, so that all of that is finished. The Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim is finished. Then for the fourth tefillah, you take off your big day zav, put on your big day lavan, go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, take out the Kafe Machte. That's the end of the fourth tefillah. It takes 2 minutes. You take off those begadim. Now comes the fifth tefillah. You put on the big day zav. The big day zav, all that you do is the k'toras of Ben Arbaim, which is the k'toras that's brought every single day. Your metiv es haneiros, take off the big day zav, put on your clothing, and go home. That's it. That's the avodas. Now, obviously, in the middle, you also read the Sefer Torah, but that's not an Aveda, and that you could have done either in your own clothes, you could have done that in the Big Day Lavan while you were still wearing the Big Day Lavan, fine, but that was all included in what we said was the Avodas Hayom, which was the second Tefillah. Okay, is this clear? So it's mamish, as simple as could be. We now know everything. We're going according to the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva. The only thing that remains weird, everything makes so much sense, and we know why everything is written this way. The only thing that remains weird is, how the heck did the aisle that is brought in the Musaf become the aisle that is brought in Achrimos? That is absolutely crazy. And the other thing that is weird as can be is that we only figured out the Kaf Umachta from the fact that the Torah said an Aaron went in to do something or another. It never said what it is that he went in to do. And then he takes off these begadim. I mean, like, according to the simple reading of the Pasuk, it would seem that there were only three different sets. The first thing's done in Big Day Zahav, the middle thing's done on Big Day Lavan, and then putting on the Big Day Zahav and finishing up. I mean, it isn't even clear where we get this additional tefillah, where we get the fact that we interrupt everything with the Kafumachta. All of that is a reading of the Pasuk of Ubo Aharon. And not only is it a reading of the Pasuk, that meaning of the secret thing that Aharon was doing was taking out the Kafumachta, which doesn't say. Even more disconcerting is that we take it out of its place. Because in the Psukim, in Achrimos, this is Pasuk Chof Gimel and Chof Dalet, and that means that it should be done before the El Ova El Ha'am. And the Mishnah is saying we do it after we finish all of the things, the El Ova El Ha'am, and it becomes an interruption afterwards to put on your Big Day Lavan and then put on your Big Day Zahav again, right? Why do we make this interruption? How do we know it's talking about Otzas Kafumachta? All of that remains today to be understood from the Psukim. Fine. Now let's take a look and see on Daf Ayin Aleph how we know this. Tana Rabbana, when it says that mysterious pasuk, Uba Aharon, whatever the heck he was coming for, that's a pasuk Chof Gimel. Why was he Ba El Ohel Moed? Why don't you tell us what he's coming for? Loma Uba, why is he coming? He is coming in lahotzi et hakaf ve'et hamachata. And you got to know something else, gentlemen. Now, this shin is not a good shin, according to most Girsaot. And it should say, and besides that, you got to know, it's at the wrong point. Ve'kola parasha kula nemra la seder. Like we said, we went through every single pasuk yesterday. And we saw how beautifully everything is done precisely according to the organization in the Torah, except for this pasuk, which is crazy. Well, how do you know that? My time, what makes you say that? Rav Chista, well, we have to say that. And this we had before. Remember on Daf Lamed Gimel, we had this whole discussion. Because we have a Kabbalah that there were five tefillot and 10 kiddushin, that the Kohen Gadol is Tovel Mekadesh Bo Bayom, every Yom Kippur there has to be five. And if you tell me that everything is done in the right order, then you only have three. Because if it's in the right order, then when it says that when Aaron came in to do the Kafumach, let's see what's true. It's to do the Kafumach. And then he takes off his Big Day Lavan. So when he puts on his Big Day Zav, he never puts on his Big Day Lavan again. Right? That's the simple reading of the Psukim. So then Aaron finishes up the Avodas Hayom, Uba Aaron, then he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he takes out the Kafumachta, and then he puts on his Big Day Zav, and he does everything else. There's nothing else to do with Big Day Lavan. So that means, first he walks into the Beis HaMikdash in the morning, puts on his Big Day Zav, finishes up the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Chavitim and the Nesachim and the Musafim and so on. Then puts on his Big Day Lavan, finishes everything that's in Achrimot, including Otzas Kafumachta. Then he puts away his Big Day Lavan, puts on his Big Day Zav, and finishes up everything else. Elo, Elaam, the Sarnas, the Pachutz, and the Tamid Shoben Arbaim, and the Ktera Shel Kol Yom of the Erev, and the Menorah, and goes home. That's three tefillas. So therefore, something has got to be out of order. Therefore, what we understand is that first there was the change back into the Big Day Zov to do the Surah Nazav Achutz and Elo Ve'Ela'am and the Musafim according to the Rambam. And then there's another change of clothes back to the Big Day Zov to take out the Kafu Machta. Another change of clothes back to the Big Day Zov to do the finishing up stuff, which according to Rashi includes the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, plus, which everybody agrees to, the plus the Menorah and the Keteres Shel Ben Arbaim. Okay? So therefore, says Rav Chisda, that's why we say the pasuk is in the wrong place. It must be. It must be, because otherwise we're only going to have three, and we have a Kabbalah that there's five. Okay? So the Iyamber Kisidron Ksive, if you're going to follow the pasukim as they are written, you're only going to end up with three tefillahs, and each tefillah requires two of these kiddushim, and that gives us six. Remember, we split up the first kiddush and the last because of the fact that he's putting on Big Day Chol, or he took off Big Day Chol, okay? So they make up for the missing one. Okay, that explains it. Matki Flo Rebbe said, what explains it? Doesn't explain a darn thing as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, everything makes a heck of a lot of sense. Because, look, I mean, let's be honest over here, okay? There's one piece that doesn't fit and that was never mentioned at all. Never mentioned in Acharei Mot. What was never mentioned in Acharei Mot? The Seir, the third Seir. The Seir that's Nasa B'chutz. That was only mentioned in the Karbonis in Pinchas. And over there it said, Milvat Chatata Kippurim. Now, does it not make sense to you that if you've got one chaotic piece and you don't know where to put it, so it's Milvat Chatata Kippurim. I mean, isn't that the most likely thing that we didn't bother mentioning in Acharei Mot because it was being learned from the Musafim, okay? So then, if you want to tell me that you need to have something extra, because you need an extra tefillah, guess what? I've got a brilliant idea for you. Everything in Acharei Mot, listen to this, it's ingenious. Everything in Acharei Mot is written exactly in the Seder. Now, you said that besides that, something is missing. Okay, what's missing? Well, must be the Kafu Machta was missing. Okay. And when was that done? Well, it must have been done out of the order because it's got to be that it adds the extra change of clothes. Nonsense! It was done in order, and the change of clothes came because of the wild card. What's the wild card? The Seir HaNaaseh B'chutz. So all you need to do is say, after finishing the Avodas Hayom, since it says in Bamidbar, Milvat Chatas HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol had to put on his Big Day Zahav to bring the Karban Musaf Seir so that all three Seirim would be next to each other. Ha ha ha! Then, okay, back to Acharei Mot. We finished the wild card. What's the next pasuk in Acharei Mot? Uba Aharon. And what's that? Otsas Kafu Machta. Thank you. It's in exactly the right place. So we have the extra tefillah, which put on his Big Day Lavan after he had already put on the Big Day Zav once in order to do the third Seir, because the Torah wants them all together. This makes so much sense. Hotzas Kafu Machta. Next change of clothing back into the Big Day Zav, which now becomes the final change. And that's the fifth. Right? And that everything else is finished in. That gives you the same exact solution. Five tefillahs, nothing has to be changed. Uba Aharon means Otzas Kafu Machta, in exactly where it's supposed to come. And the one thing that was left out is the obvious thing that's left out, for God's sake. It's the thing that isn't mentioned here. So it's a wild card. Put it exactly where it belongs to make everything add up. What didn't add up? You didn't have enough tefillahs. Great. So put it right there before the Hotzas Kafamachta. Ha, ha, ha. And this business about Kol HaParsha Kula Nemra Keseder, except nonsense. Matkivas Ahat Kafa. I mean, this is absolutely, it's crazy. Dilma Mafsikla Besaranaza Bechutz. Omrabayi, you can't. Why not? Because notice that when it says afterwards that Aaron is coming out, it says v'yotza v'asa et olato. Okay? So what does v'yotza mean? V'yotza means not yet has he ever walked out of the Beis HaMikdash in other begadim. Because otherwise, why are we saying v'yotza? If he had already come out once, we're saying, okay, and here is the first Yetziah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're opening up the curtain. V'yatza Aaron, he already came out 10 minutes ago to do the Soyer Hanasa Bachutz. He just changed back into the Big Day Lovan for a minute to take out the Kafu Machta. Now he's coming out again. So now we're making this the big moment of his come out. What's the name? What do they call those balls? You know, the first time a girl is presented to the Sweet 16 or something. What's the name of the ball where you come out?
The prom.
Okay, so here is V'yotza Aaron, and he was just out there for 10 minutes. I mean, this is ridiculous. So therefore, says Abaya, obviously V'yotza is the first time he's coming out. We're making a big deal out of it, right? So it can't be that he just came out before to do it. So it must be Mietziah Rishona of Elaam. So that must be the first thing that he did in Big Day Zov. That's why we cannot say that what we did was having everything in order. So it must be that it was out of order, though it says Kafu Machta, and that's where we get the extra one. Fine. Rava says, I don't like this whole discussion. The whole thing is ridiculous. What do you mean we need to add something in order to get 10? All you need to do is read the words and you understand that obviously there was another tefillah. You don't need no Kabbalah about this. Read the pasuk. It says that Aaron ubo Aaron elo moed upashat et bigdei habad. Take off the bigdei habad. Now, I got news for you. I have never heard of any time in history that somebody was able to take off his clothes without putting on those clothes first, okay? So if the Torah says, take off the big day bod that you put on, it would be a heck of a trick to take off the big day bod that I didn't put on. So then obviously what the Torah is saying is, take off the big day bod that you had put on again that we hadn't mentioned before because you had done something with the big day zav. So obviously it's out of order because there was nothing else that was done with big day zav until he got to the Elaam. You see? So that's why I don't need this business about gemire that has chamisha tefillahs and then asara kiddush. Nonsense. Anybody, a two-year-old who reads the pasuk, understands that there was obviously a second Levisha of the Big Day Lavan. So where do you think that second Levisha was? It must be that it was interrupted with the Levisha of the Lavan in order to be Motzi Kafu Machta. There you go. And of course, how is a guy supposed to take off clothes that he hadn't put on? Elamat Talmud Lomar Asher Lavash. Obviously, the idea of Asher Lavash is that he had been Lavash Kvar. This had already happened. He had already put them on. That is the point. So therefore, everything works out beautifully. And of course, the Gemara asks the same question that it asked on the other approach. Why do you have to say that it's the second Levisha because of the Otsas Kafu Machata? Why not use the wild card and say that there was a previous Levisha of Big Day Zohav in order to do the wild card, which was the Sayer Hanasa Bachutz, the third Sayer. So this time it's Rabba Bar of Shila, who was there with Rava. He asked the question on Rava that was asked before on Rav Chista. Ve'emed amafsik le'besoyer Hanasa Bachutz. And the Gemara answers the way Abaye answered it before, because it says, V'yatsa, here's the big Yitziyah, this must be the first time, and so on and so forth. Okay. So then we said, V'kola parasha kula nemra la seder, and everything is in order except for this. That's not true. What do you mean everything is in order? This whole thing is messed up. It's not in order. Why don't you read the next psukim and take a look how it's not in order, okay? What about all these other psukim? And then it says, it should be Yotzil v'chutzla machane, v'saraf otam et oram et bisaram et pirsham and all of that, right? But in the Mishnah it said, no. Aroet kohen gadol kishukore en orel parvesar nisrafim. So when did we take out the parvesar? According to our Mishnah, gentlemen, we took out the parvesar before. And now we got to the end of everything, and now it says take out the parvesar, okay? So don't tell me that we're following the order of the psukim. We are not following the order of the psukim. Because Vaharaya, the Mishnah, made a big fuss about the fact that the burning of the parvesar was being done simultaneously with what was going on while the Kohen was reading from the Sefer Torah. And the Emure HaChatas, according to our Mishnah, you burn only after you've already taken out the stuff to burn at the Beit HaDeshen. So don't tell me the psukim are in order. No, we don't mean the psukim are in order. We mean all of the psukim up until this pasuk about Uba Aaron are in order. After that, the Torah stops being makbid on the order. So from this pasuk on, Ema chutz mi pasuk zeh ve'elach. From this pasuk on, it's not in order. Oh, man. I mean, now I've heard it all. Somebody's got a Mishnah, right? And the Mishnah says something in one way. So then he comes to the Dvar Hashem in the Torah. So he says, well, obviously the Dvar Hashem has it wrong. The psukim are out of order. The Mishnah has it right. I mean, come on, man. Doesn't the Mishnah have to follow the Torah, not the Torah follow the Mishnah? So why are we saying that the Mishnah, why not say the Mishnah is out of order and the Torah is in order? What kind of weird thing is this? Like, where do we get the idea from that, well, okay, these psukim are not in order, we'll do it our way? That's absurd. So my chazita the mishabash the kroy shabish masnisa. Why don't you say that the Mishnah is wrong? Amar Abaye, no, because you don't understand. The psukim, as they're written, make it very clear that this was done before, even though they're mentioned later. Because look, it says, v'hamishaleach et ha-sa'ir. What do you mean, v'hamishaleach et ha-sa'ir? There never was a mishaleach et ha-sa'ir. And v'hasoreif, now, who's the mishaleach? The mishaleach et ha-sa'ir is the sar mishaleach. When was the sar mishaleach done? Well, then it said that before. V'shilach oto ha-midbara. So whoever did the mishaleach et ha-sa'ir is, at the same time, talking about the one who is a soreif, these par and the saranasa bifnim. It's comparing the two. So when Mishaleach becomes tame, the soreif becomes tame. So just like the Mishaleach took place earlier, where it says, so too the soreif took place earlier. Now we're just talking about the dinim of the tuma. We're not talking about when it's done. I don't understand. And why say that? Maybe say just the opposite. Maybe say that we should only do the shiluach of the sar hamishtaleach later, like it says over here, v'asoreif et haparad is done later, and so to the hamishaleach et ha-sa'ir is done later. Why not say it the other way around? What makes you say that we should drag back the mishaleach to before? Just say, just like the sreifa is being done now, so too the sar hamishtaleach is being done now. When it said before to send it, it didn't say that you send it then. It said, lishalach oto ha-midbara, that's what you're going to be doing with it. Never told you to do it right away. So the Mishnah was wrong about that too. You shouldn't have said that we did it before. You should have waited till after Elo, Elaam, and everything else, and then you should have sent it out. Why not? Says the Gemara, no, it can't mean that, because Hamishaleach has to mean that which was already done. Because if you never told me to do it, then you should say, Vishilach et asair, and Hamishaleach is tame. But if you're going to refer to Hamishaleach, you're obviously referring to a person that already did something. So then we were right the first time. You did it before. Rava says, of course you did it before, because remember it said that Hasair Asher Allah Alava Gorala Azazel Yeomat Chai. And we said, Ad Matai Yehizakuk La'amot Chai. How long is it supposed to be standing there? Lechaper Ad Shat Kapara. What's the Shat Kapara? The Matan Damim. So the Matan Damim was finished. Okay, but after that, for too long, it doesn't have to remain alive at all. And this would explain everything. So now, if they meet the next day, remember the Mishaleach stays overnight. He comes back the next day. He's staying in that last sukkah, right? He comes back the next day after he did his tefillah. Now he's tar. He comes back in. If he meets the Kohen Gadol in public, so then he's mechabed the Kohen Gadol. And he says to the Kohen Gadol, my master, the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, I want you to know I did what you sent me to do. Namely, I brought out the Azazel. But if he does not meet him in the marketplace where other people are around, he goes to see him in his house. And if Mitzaove Veto, now already there's nobody else around, then he doesn't say anything to him. This is an amazing Gemara. I gave a whole shiur on this one. Like the last time we didn't see him. He says to him, no Ishi Kohen Gadol, nothing. He says to him, listen here. The two of us were working for the same person. And that is the Mechaye Chaim, the one who gives life to life. Asinu Shlichuto, me and you. You were doing the things that were Bifnim. I was doing the things that were b'chutz. Remember that the whole point of the Soyer Lazazel is that they're supposed to be the same korban. One is bifnim, one is b'chutz. The two of us together, we did the work for the one who is b'chaye chayim. Now that lashon of b'chaye chayim asinu shlichuto, that word b'chaye chayim is sort of strange. What does it mean, b'chaye chayim? That was a language that the Rabbonan in the yeshiva in Pumbedisa used to express their love for each other and covet for each other when they left for Bein Hazman. So everybody would say to their chavrusa, "Kimafter Rabbonan me'adarei be'Pumbedisa," they would say like this, "Mechaye chayim, he who is mechaye chayim, yitain lecha chayim arukim v'tovim u'metukanim." He should give you a long life, a good life, and a life that is completely well off in all areas. What does that mean, though? What is a mechaye chayim? What does chayim mean when it's said separately from just the fact of living? For instance, David HaMelech says, Etalech lifnei Hashem ba'artzot ha'chayim. What is artzot ha'chayim? Amar Rav Yehuda, it means shopping centers. If you can be in a large shopping mall, that is life. So Rasha explains, because look, people need certain things. They're going to get it come hell or high water. They have to have grain and bread and whatever. But shopping malls, that tells you what life is all about. Luxuries, items you never would have dreamt that you need, and all of a sudden are in the window and now you got to have it, right? So they're expansive of life. That's mechaye chayim. So if you can never get to a shopping mall, you don't know what life is. But mechaye, so that's what they're saying. Mechaye chayim. That relates to the bracha of shecheyanu. Shecheyanu means mechaye. I related this to the Yiddish. When in Yiddish you want to say that you're really feeling expanded, you say, a mechaye. It's a reference back to this pasuk. Mechaye chayim. This is an example of a mechaya. I never had such good scotch. A mechaya. Isn't that amazing? Yiddish has got these expressions that come straight from the depths of Chazal. It's mamish unbelievable. So this is a mechaye chayim. Same thing is true. Ki orach yamim u'shnot chayim v'shalom yosif. What do you mean shnot chayim? If you've got years, then you have to be alive. I mean, how can you have shnot that are not chayim? V'chiyesh shanim shal chayim, v'yesh chayim, shanim she'enam shal chayim. Omer Rabbi Elazar, you know, Eilu shnotav shel adam mitapchot alav me'ra'a letova. There are years of a person that he never really feels alive. He may be living, but he doesn't feel alive. All of a sudden, everything changes. Now he finally makes it. Now he's got money. Now he's got a home. Now he's gotten rid of all the mamzerim. Now he's able to go without the turkeys. Ah, wow. Now I feel alive. So all those years, he wasn't feeling alive. All of a sudden, he's got shnot chayim, specifically. And those are years that have turned from not the kind of life that you want to have. And, okay, so now, I did promise you to tell you something amazing. So I'm going to, okay? There's something amazing. There's something amazing is like this. This is the most, I don't know, I think it's probably the most incredible insight of the Vilna Gaon that I ever saw. Okay, you remember, we've talked many, many times about the way that the Gaon learns, and this is based on the Medrash. The Medrash says, Bezot yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was miserable. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you mean my brother Aaron is not going to be able to come into the Beis HaMikdash? No, your brother Aaron can come in whenever he wants to come in. As long as he's nichnas b'seder hazeh, b'zot yavo Aaron al HaKodesh, I don't care, it could be in the middle of the Teves, it could be in the middle of Tishrei, it could be in the middle of Pesach. As long as he brings these karbonos, forget about Yom Kippur. There's no Yom Kippur. Does it say anything about Yom Kippur at the beginning of Achrimot? Not one word. Not one word. It says, here's the way that Aaron can come in. At the end, after the entire Aveda is finished, it says, and you should do this once a year, and that should be on the time in the Chodesh HaShvi'i. Achas B'Shana, this is what you're supposed to do. So the Gra says, exactly. There are two different dinim. Aaron HaKohen comes in whenever he wants. Normal Kohen Gadol after Aaron, once a year, is able to be Nichnas. And as I explained to you, the Or Sameach explains this beautifully. Because since the idea of Kiba Anan Era Ela Kaporet, is the whole basis of needing to, that's why you can only come in like that. But Aaron was the one who brought the Anan. So obviously Aaron is the one who's able to come in whenever he wants. Kiba Anan era la kaporet. The others can't come in unless they create this artificial Anan with the Ketoret, right? Beautiful. Now, listen to this absolute genius. That explains everything. We said, the anomalies here are this. How did the aisle in Pinchas suddenly become the aisle of the Am in Achrei Mos? That's nuts. And how is it possible that the Pasuk should say the dinim out of order all of a sudden? And why doesn't it say that there was that extra, what happened to the Chomesh Tfilais and everything else? Says the Gra. Rabbi Isai, the Pasuk is talking about Achrei Mot, not Yom Kippur. Does it say anywhere that there were 5 tefillahs and 10 kiddushim every time Aaron came in? Of course not. It says Boto Hayom. That Kabbalah is only on Yom Kippur. Achrei Mot is not about Yom Kippur. The Seder in Achrei Mot is exactly what Aaron would have done in that order. 3 tefillahs, 3 changes. There's no reason to do anything else. Now, when it says over there that there's an Ela Am, It's not Yom Kippur. So there is no aisle of the Musafim. So that means there's always an aisle that is brought on the non-Yom Kippur Achrei Mot day, whenever that is. Therefore, when the Torah says aisle echad, when it is Yom Kippur, why make it another aisle? I don't understand. There's always one aisle anyway that's brought on Yom Kippur. The Torah never said to bring another aisle. It said bring an aisle echad. Okay, so if I'm bringing an aisle anyway that I would have brought in the middle of Teves, so today it becomes the Eil Ha'am that's part of the Musafim. Why in the world would it be otherwise? Absolutely marvelous. And there was no Soyer Anasa Bachutz, and there was no need for an additional change of clothing, and there were no Rumazim that are not mentioned. Everything is exactly in order as long as it's Achrei Mos. Comes along the Bamidbar Parsha to say, U'bachodesh hashvi'i, basiri lachodesh. Okay, fine, I understand. That's introducing all kinds of new things. Oh, there's also a Chatas HaKippurim when it's not Yom Kippur. So when it is Yom Kippur, Mufada Chatas HaKippurim, you know what? Bring the Musaf together with that. Come on, guys. Is that absolutely beautiful? It's just amazing. So now we finally get the full picture of what's happening over here. Two completely different stories that we have to mix into one when it is Yom Kippur, which accounts for why it is that we're doing all of this crazy stuff. So Eilechem Ishim Yikra finishes the Shnotav Shel Adam HaMitapchot Alav, and it means, Omer Bracha is referring to Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim are generally very weak, and they're very quiet. They're not loud. They're anaftanim. They don't show off. So they're more tsanua. So they're more like women. So these are talmidei chachamim shedomim lenashim, but they're osim gvura kanashim. They achieve the most incredible things, like the greatest, most powerful men. The Omer Rabbi Brachya. This is another meaning, is that Aratzel and Aser Yayin Agabe Yamizbeach, Ishim is a lotion of Esh. We say La Ishim, to be makriv La Ishim means to put something onto the Mizbeach. Somebody who wants to bring Yayin on the Mizbeach, but unfortunately discovers that there's no Beis HaMikdash, so he should do the equivalent. Yimalei Gronam Shel Talmidei Chachamim Yayin. He should fill the mouths of Talmidei Chachamim with wine, because they are also called Ishim. Shenemar Eilechem Ishim Ekra. Now, this might include Talisker, Richie, but we're not getting any image there. I thought we decided we're going to have a phone focused in one direction and your iPad. That doesn't have to be on. That'll be reading the Gemara. And instead, you're preventing us from seeing. Come back to us, Sir Richard. So, okay, maybe you should bring out some talisker to be Mekayim this mitzvah. And, we have all these Talmidei Chachamim here learning. Yimalei Gronam. Shenemar Eilechem Ishim Ekra. Om Reb Rachim Ro'er Adam. Shehatorah Poseken Mizaro Yisa Bat Talmid Chacham. So if somebody sees that his children are not following the learning path, and it looks like they're not going to be Talmidei Chachamim, so he should marry a bas Talmid Chacham and have some more children. Shenemar im yaskin ba'aretz sharsho ube'afar yamut gizo. That even if something is dying in the ground and the trunk is already starting to wither, but the moment you add a little bit of reach mayim is terah, so you add a little bit of terah to the family, yafriach v'yasa katsir kmo neta. So then things are going to really blossom and make new kinds of branches, just like a brand new sapling tree. So you can always renew your family. Other learn that this means that if you see that your child is moving away from Terah, so then you should marry that son off. Yasi is what it means. Marry that son off to a Bas Talmid Chacham, and she will be mechazeket him that he should follow in the paths of Torah. Anyway, continues the Mishnah, after all of the Aveda, the Yom Tov, Hayah Oseh Le'Ohavav, The Kohen Gadol would make this little party in his house because of the fact that he had gotten out, Baruch Hashem, done the Avodah properly, Tana Rabbanan. There was once a Maisa B'Kohen Gadol that came out of the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Everybody was following him to the house, and he was like on top of the world. The whole country is being mechabed him. But as soon as they saw Shemaya Vavtalion, who were the two Gedolei Hador, now they happened to be, according to the Gemara in Gittin, they happened to be, amazingly, they were from Gerim who had come from Sancheirev of all people. That's incredible, right? So Sancheirev, who had come to destroy Yerushalayim, his great-grandchildren were the Gedolei Hador, Shemaya Vavtalion, amazing. Anyway, so Shemaya Vavtalion came out also, L'chvoid as we'll see, they came over to the Kohen Gadol in the end. But as soon as people saw Shemaya Vavtalion coming, they all left the Kohen Gadol and they went, as they was Shemaya Vavtalion to be in Mechabed the Gedolei Hador. And in the end, Shemaya Vavtalion arrived to be Mechabed the Kohen Gadol and to be Maftir from the Kohen Gadol and to tell him thank you and to leave back to their house. And the Kohen Gadol says the most horrific thing to them. And he says to them, because he was feeling very hurt, that everybody should be Mechabed Shemaya Vavtalion more than he, the great and glorious Kohen Gadol. I remember that there were a lot of Kohanim Gadolim that were not the best people, to say the least. And they had bought their way into the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol says to them, Amalam Yetu B'nei Hamamim L'Shlam. May the Goyim, the children of the Goyim, may they come in peace. So he was mevaza them. So they said to him, well, I'll tell you something. It's a lot better that B'nai Amamim should come l'shalom because they deserve peace, because they follow the drachim of Uvda the Aaron. They do the Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was a mevaki shalom, and he loved everyone. But we would not recommend that the B'nai Aaron, who don't know how to act like Aaron, they should not come in shalom. And we do not wish you any shalom. Drop dead, you idiot. Anyway, it was a good comeback to the Kohen Gadol. Okay, we are now ready for our very special moment brought to you from Richie's Island, right there out in the Baltic Sea. Give it to us, Rich.
Yeah. By the way, I just got to tell you something, that I got off the plane. The temperature was 31.
Oh, my gosh.
31.
Well, you can always go back to Eilat where it's 45.
I guess we got on the wrong plane. It said Helsinki, but it was really Miami Beach. Oh, I don't understand it. Yesterday night, here as well, 30.
All right.
Anyway. So
now that we have finished the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, and we've spent the entire Masechet discussing the changing from the different begadim, the Big Day Zov, the Big Day Lavan, as is the usual Seder in the Mishnah, we take the things that were sort of taken for granted and we fill you in the details at the end. So as we come to the end of Avodah, we let you know that a Kohen Gadol all year round, he wears Shmoneh Begadim, and the Kohen Hediot all year round wears Arba'ah Begadim. And so the normal Kohen, a Kohen Hediot, wears a kitonet, which is shirt-like, Michnasayim, which are what they used to call breeches, so it's like an underwear, but it covers your entire body from the waist down, the Mitznefet, is a turban-like affair. It's actually a machlokas, that's the truth. The Rambam learns that really the mikbaat and the mitznefet, remember that in the Lashon of the Torah, the word mitznefet is only used for the Kohen Gadol. When it comes to the Big Day Kohen Hediot, the Torah uses the word mikbaot taselehem. So the Rambam learns that the mikbaot and the mitznefet is in exactly the same thing, which is that it's a long piece of material, and you wind the material around the head of the Kohen Gadol in one fashion, and around the head of a Kohen Hediot in another fashion. But others learn that the mikbaat is actually a hat, and it was not wound like a turban. But the Rambam understands, this is very, it's very interesting, because the famous drawing that they make of the Rambam puts on the Rambam's head the migba'at, that he, the mitznefet that he describes for the Kohen Gadol, which is the turban that goes around and around, and it's sort of flat and spreads outwards. Whereas the migba'at on the Kohen Hediot did the same round and round, but it came up to a peak, and it wasn't spread flat and wide. So it's interesting that nowadays when we make a hat, we do both. You have the bottom part sticks out, like it's a rim, and then the top part comes up more like the migbat, right? Which is interesting. Anyway, so this was, they wore a mitznefet. It's not really true because in the Torah, the word is migbat, but in the Gemara, always the lashon of the Mishnah is not to define any difference and to use the word mitznefet as just the turban for both of them. The Avnet and the Kohen Gadol adds to these another four begadim, and that was the Choshen, and then the Ephod. So remember that the Ephod was more like a what do they call them in English? Like an apron that extends to the, a cape. So it was like a cape that comes down, and the Ephod went around the front with a belt, and then the Choshen was hanging on his chest, connected to the Ephod on the bottom and on its top. So it was connected with the Tilei Techelet on the bottom. It was hanging with the chain on the top. And then he wore also a Me'il. So Me'il was made entirely out of Techeles. It was the only beged was made entirely out of Techeles. That was like a robe kind of affair, a coat, which is why we use the word Me'il today for a coat, because that's basically the shape of the Me'il. It's a machlokes about whether it had sleeves or not. The Rambam learns it had no sleeves. Rashi learns in Chumash that it did have sleeves. The tzitz, and then he had the tzitz that was worn on the forehead with the words Kodesh Lashem. In these Shmona Begadim, you have to be dressed when Nishalim Bo'urim V'tumim. So when the Kohen Gadol, even though he's not coming to Aveda, but when he's coming to be addressed by the Melech who's asking him to consult at Urim V'tumim, he has to be wearing all Shmona Begadim. The Einish Alim, you can't ask the Urim V'tumim to answer you unless a Melech is asking the question or the Bezdin is asking the question. Some have the Girsala Av Bezdin. The Gro takes out Lav Bezdin, but the Rambam uses Lav Bezdin. Ulumisha Tzibur Tzarichlo. And anyone that is in a position of an emergency where the entire tzibur needs him, let's say the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad has a question to ask, so then the Kohen Gadol has to respond to him with the Urim V'tumim. That's how the Rambam brings it. Tana Rabbanan. How do we get these, all of these begadim, how do we know precisely how to construct them? Now here is, finally, if we take a look at the way that the Torah tells us to make the material for the begadim, is by using the different terms of materials. Now remember that there's one material that is referred to in three separate ways. One is shesh, actually four separate ways. One is shesh. Now shesh is a way of referring to linen, but so is pishtan, is referring to linen, and so is bad, as we'll see, and so is boots, as we'll see. So there's four different terms for linen. Then we have three different types of wool, and those are referred to by the different colorations. So over there we have tchelet, argaman, and tola'at shani. Those are different types of dyes, and that is the way that we refer to the wool by the color. We don't ever mention that it should be wool dyed techeles and so on. We call it techelet. Now, the rule is, says the Braisa, that anywhere that the Torah uses the word sheish, dvarim shenemar behem sheish, it means also sheish, that is to say six, because chutan kafur shisha, the threads are spun with six full threads that are then braided together. And when the Torah uses the word mush zar, not with sheish. There's lots of time that it says sheish mashzar. We're not referring to that. We're referring to times that we just use the word Majzar. When we use the word Majzar, and there's only one place where that's used, and that without the word Sheish, and that is on the Rimonim of the Me'il. So remember, the Me'il was Kulo Tcheles, and the additional Rimonim were also Kulo Tcheles, but the word that we talk about over there, I shouldn't say Kulo Tcheles, but they were no Sheish anyway, they were Kulo wool. So over there it says Majzar. There the chutim, the individual chutim, were actually made out of 8 thick threads of wool. And we'll see how we learn that out. Which means that the me'il, which was entirely made out of treles, as we'll see, was double the sheish, because the Torah says to double it, which meant that it had chutim that were 12-fold twisted. And the parochet, which was made out of all of the various minim, must have had 24 separate, in every single thread, had 24 separate woven threads, because you had 6, 6, 6, 6, because it was made out of sheish and cheles and argaman and tolat shani, each one of which was 6. Now, the choshen and the ephod were the only things that were made out of threads that were 28 threads thick for every single thread. I wouldn't recommend that for your sheets anyway. That's really tough stuff. And that's why we said that the Big Day Kuhuna was essentially hard. That was the sheet that we brought about it's not being usur bikilayim for lying on. Now, how do we know this? Chutan kofor shisha, minolan. Well, we have an amazing pasuk that repeats the word for sheish 5 separate times, which is amazing. So it says, Vayasu atukutonet sheish maase oreg, vet hamitznefet sheish, vet paare hamigbaot sheish, vet michnese habad, bad itself means sheish, and sheish, michnasei abad, sheish, majzar. And now all of those above twisted together. Okay, so therefore we learn like this, that the idea of repeating the word sheish again and again and again is chamisha kroy. In this one pasuk, we have 5 separate mentions, because all you needed to do was put the word sheish at the end. And then that would have meant that all of these things were made out of sheish. So the 5 separate words sheish that are mentioned over here, where one would have done, come to tell me like this. One is to teach me the halacha, that you need to use linen. So chad gufe, which is that it should be made out of linen, to keep the nab. One of them comes to tell me that each one should be shisha, and you should make literally 6 threads for every thread. The chad, one of them tells us, that they should be shizurin, they should all be together. That's the sheish majzar. All of the above chutim put together. And one of them tells me that those begadim, where we do not find the word sheish, that they also need to have these dinim, that they be 6 times, and that they be all twisted together, braided in the end, those 6 times. And then the 5th mention of sheish is to tell me that this is not only a mitzvah, but this is actually ma'akev. And if you don't do it, remember, when it comes to kachim, anything that isn't repeated is not ma'akev. So it tells us again, sheish, to say all of the above is actually ma'akev. Okay. First of all, you made an assumption. Your assumption was that sheish is linen. So where does it say that actually sheish is linen? Now, that's a pretty weird question, right? Because, I mean, words have meanings, and people use the word sheish for linen. So why wouldn't linen mean sheish? So it's an interesting thing. The Achronim talk about this and point out that the word sheish is used, meaning absolutely nothing to do with linen. It's used as the color of linen. So because we find, let's say, in the Megillah. So what was Achashverosh's party? So it says, Al-Galile Kesev Amude Sheish. You can't make a pillar out of sheish. So what it means is that apparently the sheish over there is actually shayish, which shares that coloration, linen, marble. So there's that sense of sheish. But how do we know that sheish, maybe sheish is actually a coloration similar to tcheles and argaman and tolad shani? Maybe it's wool that is colored that color. So what makes you say that it has to mean actually linen? Omer Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, because in one of these cases, it compares the sheish to the bad. It's michmes a bad instead of using the word sheish. So why does it say that? Because it's coming to tell me that I'm identifying the sheish as davara olemina karka bad. This is a type of material that comes up in single stalks. And single stalks, the only material that comes up in single stalks is the what we call linen. Now, this is a little bit of a problem because there's also the stalks of the hemp. Hemp, by the way, is actually cannabis, which is cannabis, which is marijuana. And it's called in the Gemara cannabis. And it is, in fact, cannabis. It really is. The only difference between hemp and string is the amount of the psychoactive drugs that's in it. But it's actually the same plant, the same type of leaves. And because of that, the question is, why are we so sure that it isn't cannabis? In fact, there's even a suggestion by one of the Balei Tosfosin that maybe what we call bad should not be linen. It should be hemp. Okay, but anyway, remember that issue. In any event, if you take a look at the incredible flax plant, absolutely an amazing plant, and which you can eat this stuff and it does everything for you, and then you can wear this stuff and it's the highest quality material. I mean, it's just amazing, one of these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides in which a single thing is enough to grow on. People who grow flax love flax. It's an amazing thing to see how proud they are of their flax, how they do all the work themselves. Because it's like a shepherd. And that was the original, remember, Dorsha, the Tzemer Upishtim. The Dorsha Tzemer Upishtim was the two ways of looking at life. Are we flax growers, or are we actually nomads that take our sheep from place to place? That was Kayin Vehevel, Dorsha Tzemer Upishtim, which is the basis of the whole Kilayim issue, which is one of the fundamental bifurcations of human development at the beginning of history. And so in any event, this is a reference to something which comes up by stalks, meaning it does not break up into branches. It only breaks into actual stalks, and then you have to open up the stalks and you break apart the fiber that's inside. Well, I don't understand. I mean, if you take a look at wool, every hair of wool comes up from a separate follicle, so it's also growing in stalks. The hair itself is the stalk, and that's the material. So I don't understand why you're so certain that it isn't wool that is colored the color sheish, which makes the whole thing. Now, we really understand why we thought that we need to prove it. So it could be wool. No, wool splits. Because the way that wool works is that actually the hair is something that's hairy, does not keep you all that warm. Wool is so marvelously warm because it entraps air with the way that the hairs actually break apart and therefore are fluffy. Fluffy is warm. Hairy is not. So therefore, if you've got the kitna is not in any way broken at the tip. It's a solid hair, and that's called a bat. Masha'inkein, wool is epsule mipatzla. Well, I understand wool, I mean, flax, in order to make flax, we split it, because, I mean, you can't really make threads out of that thick flax thread. You first have to split it into little pieces, it becomes fluffy, and then you spin it. So kitnanami ipatzule mipzel. Of course that's true, but you have to do that mechanically. It doesn't do it for itself. Kitana agav lekute miftil. Flax, you have to beat the flax. And therefore, that is called bad until you turn it into the usable linen. So therefore, the one that should be called bad, which is a single fiber, is flax and not hair, which is wool. Ravina Amar Miyacha. Ravina says, look, it's very clear from the Pasuk in Yecheskel that Bad is Pishtim. Because it says over there, Beferish. Pe'erei Pishtim Yiyu Arosham. It's describing over there the Kohanim. And it says that these Kohanim should be wearing linen, Pishtim, linen turbans. So what do you want? It says Beferish in the Pasuk that the things that are identified over here as Bad are and as Sheish are Pishtim. Omele Ravashi, what are you bringing me, Ravina, a raya from Yecheskel? And before Yecheskel was born, you know, what did they make the big dekuna out of? Pishtim. I'm asking how they knew then. I don't need you to bring me Yecheskel, which is so much later. So Mikamidati Yecheskel man Amra, so who told you this before Yecheskel was born? So he said to him, oh, come on. That's a question. You think we're bringing a raya from Yecheskel? That is the Makor? Because we're bringing a raya, the Makor of the identification. So when Rav Chisda said, remember what Rav Chisda said, how do we know that a Kohen who is an Orel, and the reason that he's an Orel is not because Chas V'Shalom, he did not want to have a Brit Milah, but because he comes from a family of hemophiliacs, in which he had other brothers who died when they tried to do Mila, and therefore he's stuck. How do we know that such a Kohen is not kosher for the Avodah? It's Mechalal as Avodah. Davar Zemi Torat Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu. So Rav Chisda said, it never said this in the Torah. We only learn it Midivre Yecheskel Ben Buzi Lamadnu. We're over there, it says, Kol Ben Nechar Ara Lev, or an Ero Basar, Lo Yavo El Migdashi. Okay, so you see that the Torah says that even though it's not his fault, he's not an Oral Lev, he's an Ero Basar, nonetheless, he does not come L'Sharzeni. So you can ask the same question on Rav Chisda. How could Rav Chisda say we didn't learn this in the Torah, we only learned it from Yecheskel Ben Buzi? Where do you get a right to learn any? Who's Yecheskel Ben Buzi? So before Yecheskel Ben Buzi came along, Man Amra, where did we learn it from? So obviously, Rav Chisda wasn't saying that the Makor of a Halacha is in Yecheskel. He was telling me, look, we always had this as a Kabbalah. Gemara Gemirila. We knew that an oral is not kosher for Avodah. That we knew from Halacha L'Meshe Mi-Sinai. What I'm trying to show you is that the Nevi'im often put those things into words so that we would have it. B'Meshech HaDoros comes along Yecheskel, V'Yasmach HaKra. Same thing is true over here when I'm telling you that Pishtim means linen. What, you think we didn't know what the word, I mean, that Sheish means Pishtim, which means linen. We didn't know that from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, who made the big day kahuna. What's the matter with you? Of course, it was always known. You're asking me, where do we find this? I'm telling you, we find it in Yecheskel. What's your problem? Out of Yecheskel, Vasmach HaKra. Anyway, can we get back to the Braisa, please? Thank you. So the next thing you said was that Sheish means Kaful Sheish, that there needs to be six times a twist. Mashzar, if it only says Mashzar, then that means eight times a twist. Now, how do we get that? We get that because on the Me'il, we had three different types of wool, meaning three different colorations of wool, but not on the Me'il itself. And what was that? Those were those pomegranates that were made out of material. And al shulei ha-Me'il, all along the hem of the Me'il, we had rimonim that were shaped like pomegranates that were made out of tchelet, argaman, and tolat shani. And over there it says mashzar. Okay, so now we know that the other place where it says mashzar is from the parochet, and that parochet where it says beferish in the pasuk, and it also says the same thing treles argaman tolat shani, but it adds v'sheish mashzar. So we take the mashzar that was said by the parochet where we had four materials. Because we also had the Sheish Mashzar together with the Tchelet Argaman and Tolat Shani. And we say that the Torah is comparing with the Gzeres Shava, it's comparing the Parochet to the Rimonim of the Me'il. So how many total threads were there in the Parochet? 24. Because over there we had six times four different materials. Then that means that over here, we only have three materials, but we need to have the same number of threads, which is the 24. But if we only have three materials, that means that each one of the threads was eight times thickness Kofel 3 because of the three materials which are twisted together as the Mashzar, which then yields the 24 by making thicker threads of each one of the materials. Says the Gemara, oh, I don't understand. I mean, we find the word Mashzar not only by the Parochet, so maybe we should use the word Mashzar and learn it out of the actually the Choshen and the Ephod, because over there we had Tcheles, Argaman, Tolat, Shani, Vishesh, Mazar, plus Zahav, Tcheles, Argaman, Vitolat, Shani, Vishesh, Mazar. And that means that we needed to have actually 28 threads, because over there we also included a piece of gold which with each one of these threads, as we'll see. And that gives us 28. So maybe we should say that the Rimonim at the bottom of the Me'il were made out of threads that were 28 thick. No. No, because we're not going to compare something with gold to something that doesn't have any gold. There's no gold in the Rimonim. So, Danim davar shelo ne'emar bo zahav, mi davar shelo ne'emar bo zahav. Why would we learn it from the Choshen ve'efod, which, I mean, the only reason that they had so many threads was because they had to weave gold together with it. I would say, adarabah, I mean, I understand the objection, but, I mean, does it make more sense to learn out a beged from a beged? So we should learn out the rimonim. Rimonim are part of a beged. Well, we should learn it out from the parochet. The parochet is not beged. I mean, the parochet is part of a building. So lafuki parochet, the parochet is an ohel. Doesn't it make sense to learn? You're looking for gzeira shava. Where do I learn out mashzar? Okay, so let me learn out one beged from another beged, not from a parochet. Okay, fine, you're right. All right, fine, I start over. We don't learn it from the parochet. You know what we learn it from? We learn it from the avnet. So therefore, by the avnet of the Kohen Gadol, the avnet of the Kohen Gadol also was 24, because that had Sheish plus Tchelet Vagaman V'Tolat Shani. So it had all four materials. And it says Mashzar over there. So we can learn out from that Mashzar to the Mashzar that was the Avnet to the Rimonim. And that makes it perfect, because then we're learning out a Beged and Lo Ne'emar Bo Zahav. The Avnet is a Beged. Lo Ne'emar Bo Zahav to the pomegranate from with also, it's a beged to lo ne'emar b'av zahav from the avnet, which is a beged and davar shelo ne'emar b'av zahav. And then you can be very happy. We're not going to learn it out of what we thought we would. Ein dani davar she'ein bo zahav midavar she'yesh bo zahav. We're certainly not going to compare it to the choshen and the ephod, because why should we? That has gold. This doesn't have gold. And you can't say anymore, well, don't we learn a beged from a beged? We are learning a beged from a beged. We're learning from the avnet, which is a beged. Rav Mari Omar. But Mari says, you don't need any reason for not learning something out of the Choshen, the Ephod. Because when it talks about making the Choshen, it says Beferish, for some reason, it uses the word Vasita Choshen Mishpat Kabaisa Ephod Ta'asenu. What is it, Ta'asenu? You just said Vasita. So what are you adding another verb, Ta'asenu, at the end of the phrase, the first phrase of the sentence? Crazy. Unless it's coming to be a mute. Ta'asenu, only it should be made in this fashion with the 28 threads. Nothing else is like the ephod. And therefore, only the choshen and ephod, they are unique in having the 28, and do not apply that to anything else in like the rimonim. Another very simple reason, says Rav Ashi, you could not have had 28 threads, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to the rimonim, the lashon of the posik is the asita al shulav rimonet cheles agamato lashon and so on. That asita implies that you need to make all of the asiot an asia, which means that they are all similar. And therefore, if we have only three different types of wool, remember, we don't have any sheish in those rimonim. So how can you split them up in such a way that three is divided into 28? It doesn't divide. Because, and you can't have leftovers, you can't distribute them because it's only one viasita. So tell me how you'd like us to do it. Shall we make three threads, each one of which is 10 thick? That equals 30. So shall we make two of them 9 and one of them 10? to get to 28. You can't do that because you need Le'asita, Shiukolasiotav Shavot. So therefore, there's no way to learn it out of these Charshad Ve'efod, and it's very simple. It's obvious that the Torah is making the limud from Mashzar. It has to be a usable limud that should then fit in to the Le'asita.